So I read your article as outreach coordinator for Normal. Can you describe what you do, please?
Well, I kind of wear two hats here at Normal. The outreach coordinator hat means that I'm in charge of coordinating the local chapters. We have over 100 local chapters in colleges, everywhere from colleges to cities to statewide chapters. So I help coordinate their actions with National Normal. And I'm also in charge of recruiting new activists in states and cities that don't have Normal chapters and teach them how to form them and how to, you know, behave as a Normal chapter. The other hat that I wear is that I do outreach to the general public, outreach and information, education and such, through Normal Show Live, our live talk radio show, and through our community blog, which we call the Stash blog, out at stash.normal.org. So it's both outreach to our current team members and outreach to the general public.
And your article, West Coast Cannabis, you talked about beware the medicalization of marijuana. Can you explain what you mean by the medicalization?
Well, we've seen over the past 14 years since California passed Prop 215, we now have 14 states that have passed protections or exemptions from criminal law, criminal prosecution, if one is engaged in the recognized medical use of marijuana. And the point of my article was basically that putting marijuana in solely a medical category is kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, when we show people the medical benefits of cannabis, it helps to open their minds to the fact that it's not the dangerous reefer they'd always been told it was. But on the other hand, medical cannabis still recognizes that there should be some criminality to healthy people using it. And I've always found that problematic. And this idea of beware the medicalization is to beware us putting cannabis in that medical box and leading it toward other pharmaceutical type medications where there's severe restrictions, there's penalties for non-prescription use, and so on. We here at Normal believe that all adults aged 21 and over should have the right to use cannabis for whatever purposes, be they religious, medical, or just personal purposes. So medical is, while it's a beautiful thing and it helps the people who desperately need it, it's too small a category for that plant.
Are you familiar with the efforts to regulate 215 in California?
Regulating the medical use in California?
Yes. Well, actually, this is one of the difficulties that I personally see in the Tax Cannabis 2010 initiative that's going forward, which is, you know, 215 left the quantification or regulation pretty broadly open. And so what's happened in California is there's been a patchwork of local attempts to regulate that have led to a lot of confusion, if not downright conflict and suspicion. Sure. You can be completely legal in your usage in one county and subject to a lot of trouble in another. It has not been consistently applied statewide. And the initiative also leaves legalized cannabis to local governments. And I also see that as, you know, recreating the same situation where, the basic that it's legal for you to possess and use an ounce will be legal anywhere in California. But the everything else surrounding it is going to be completely up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And so my fear is the, just results in confusion. So in your article, you mentioned an Arizona initiative. I don't know where that is. This article is a year old. Mm-hmm.
The Arizona initiative is one that's sponsored by the Marijuana Policy Project, and it is a medical marijuana initiative. It includes dispensaries, a regulated dispensary system, and one interesting clause in that has to do with the fact that if a patient lives within 25 miles of one of these dispensaries, they are not allowed to grow their own medicine. So only people living in rural areas, you know, away from cities that have dispensaries would be likely to still have that right to home grow.
Hmm. As somebody who tracks medical cannabis, opinions as to, what makes the best medicine, homegrown versus, say, indoor provided by a dispensary?
Well, I think no matter who's putting the medicine together, it can be good medicine. It just depends on the quality of the grower and the genetics of the strain that the person is growing. I at Normal, you know, we always support the right to home grow. If there's going to be dispensaries, that's great. If people want to appoint caregivers for them, that's fine. It doesn't matter to us whether the person growing the marijuana is a single producer or turns out to be a regulated large-scale warehouse. It really doesn't matter. But the main important thing is that we defend that right for the consumer to grow their own cannabis. It's the only way that we're protected from monopolistic business practices or governments controlling the cannabis and giving us an inferior product or charging us too much. If the, you know, people have the right to brew their own beer, for example, but most people don't. But the threat that people could brew their own beer is enough to keep the beer manufacturers from jacking up the prices to where they might be ridiculous. That same sort of principle applies to cannabis. If we do not have that right to home grow, we are subject to the whims of corporations and governments that will control the cannabis.
What do you think rescheduling, or do you, first of all, do you foresee any possibility of rescheduling marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2?
A number of states have already done that in their own state schedules. In my opinion, down to Schedule 2 is still too strict a category for cannabis. I think it shouldn't be scheduled at all, considering that it's safer than most of the over-the-counter medicines that we get. Nonetheless, you know, not even mentioning here the prescription medications, the scheduled medications. So, but what are the chances that of that happening? I think fairly good, in that it is a kind of a political out for our government that have been prohibiting cannabis for so long. If they can say, all right, well, we do recognize certain medical properties of this and we'll move it down to Schedule 2, I think that's more politically tenable than, you know, saying we're going to outright legalize marijuana. The benefits of moving it down to Schedule 2, while it would still be a highly prohibited drug, I mean, remember, cocaine is a Schedule 2 drug. So this would be still highly prohibited. Doctors would have to be, you know, strictly scrutinized for their use of it. But the main benefit of getting it down to Schedule 2 is it then opens it up for scientific research. We are blocked every time we try to get decent research on medical cannabis by the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, by the DEA, who will not allow that kind of beneficial research into Schedule 1 drugs. They're actually forbidden from doing so. The only research that can go out on marijuana has to be research that shows that it's bad. It leads to some very interesting conclusions from researchers. Once we move it to Schedule 2, they can get a hold of cannabis and do legitimate research on it and show the benefits of it, which I believe can only begin to move cannabis farther down that schedule or take it off the schedule altogether.
Okay. What about... You know, do you foresee some problems, though, if it got to Schedule 2 with this further medicalization, where you know, the science becomes so rigid around it that the controls become, as you say, like cocaine?
Yeah, and that is, like I said, the double-edged sword of medical marijuana. On the one hand, you open up people's minds to the truth of it, but on the other hand, you characterize it as something that is super powerful and needing of controls and needing of strict regulations. And, you know, one of the things I always bring up when we talk about legalization and how that word scares people is to remember that aspirin is legal and morphine is legal. Legalization is a very, very broad spectrum, and all we're asking for is that cannabis be put on that spectrum somewhere to start with, but naturally it should go more toward the aspirin side than it should the morphine side, based on the science of, you know, how it affects people and its health risks and so on.
Here in California, of course, the big issue is the tax cannabis initiative that might possibly legalize it in November. What do you see, or as either the benefits or the, you know, the potential problems of a dual track where there's medical marijuana and then there's legalized recreational, if you will, marijuana?
You know, I think there's nothing but benefit from it. For one thing, you know, people on the medical side have long time, you know, some people, I won't, you know, characterize everyone, but some people on the medical side for a long time have had a problem with what they call legalizers. These are the kind of folks that have really severe, debilitating medical conditions that desperately need the use of cannabis for their health. And they feel kind of like some people have jumped on that bandwagon who perhaps maybe don't have such a strong medical need for cannabis. I think by legalizing the personal use of cannabis up to an ounce, you thereby take out those people who would jump through the hoops they need to jump through to get their Prop 215 recommendation. Instead, they won't go through that trouble, and therefore the people using medical will be more how can you say, more medical, will be more obviously medical users, and the people that want to use it for their own personal reasons now have the right to do so. So I think it helps to separate the two issues and give medical marijuana more credence among people, because then we'll have more people using it who are medical users, more clearly medical users.
Excellent. Okay. So in other words, people won't have to hide behind a medical defense if they're responsible users.
Exactly. And the people who really do need the medical use and amounts greater than an ounce and more plants than would fit in a 5x5 area, they still have that option of becoming, you know, medical patients and having those higher limits.
Nationwide, what do you see as the future of medical cannabis?
Nationwide, the world looks a whole lot different than it does in California. Since California passed Prop 215, every medical marijuana law that's come out subsequently has gotten more and more tightly restricted up until this last state, New Jersey, which has passed medical marijuana, which...
I'm sorry, Russ, you completely dropped out there.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, you started off, you know, just brilliantly with nationwide. It's a different story. So if you could redo that.
You got it. Well, the situation nationwide is a whole lot different than it is in California. It looks very different. Since California passed Prop 215, the other states that have taken up medical marijuana have crafted more strict regulations for their medical marijuana, especially the states back east that don't have the initiative process. When it's crafted through a legislature, we get very strict and tight controls, things like 2-ounce limits and only allowed to grow 6 plants, and some states even passing it so that chronic pain is not considered a qualifying condition. Those were bills that were vetoed in Minnesota and New Hampshire, but that's what got through the legislature, was no chronic pain. And most disturbingly, in New Jersey and these other two that got vetoed, no right to grow your own medicine. In New Jersey, the people must go to their dispensaries. They're not allowed to grow their own cannabis. So nationwide, medical marijuana seems to be getting more into that medicalization that I warned about. It's getting stricter and stricter and tighter controls. So this is why so many people are looking to California for this legalization vote, because nationwide, they feel like the medical marijuana road can only go so far in their political climate. With legalization passing in California, that opens up the opportunity for that discussion to happen in other states. If it fails in California, that discussion is shut off, because every conservative state lawmaker can say, well, they wouldn't even pass legalization in California. Why would we even think of it here in Texas or Oklahoma or Mississippi or any of these other states? So it's a very important vote, and that's where I see medical marijuana going nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Should California pass this initiative, and it's a razor thin margin right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to say whether it can pass or not. The regulatory structure is going to be very crucial. Do you have any general thoughts about regulating marijuana statewide in a rational way? Because right now, of course, California, with its dreadful economic situation, they're looking at it as a cow to milk, basically, as a cash cow. But especially looking at Tom Amiano's proposed bill, which he would be rushed through in order to create a regulatory structure, I genuinely don't see a lot of rational thought about regulation. So I'm just curious if you have general thoughts about this.
Sure. And you'd asked something earlier about the local control that's built into this initiative, as far as if a local municipality wants to enact regulations to allow the commercial production or sales of cannabis. And you kind of brought up also how Prop 215 is kind of patchwork. And, you know, we have different regulations in different counties. Both of those situations owe to the federal prohibition on cannabis. It creates a situation that when you try to write an amendment, you try to write an initiative or a new law, that you cannot direct the state to violate federal law. It's called a positive conflict with federal law. So if California was to come forth and say, all right, in the state of California, dispensaries shall be run this way and there shall be this many of them at a state level, you're there by getting the state involved with the buying and selling of cannabis. It's in positive conflict with federal law, and then that gets thrown out. Similarly, with Tax Cannabis 2010, if they came out and said, everybody, every state, every county, every city shall allow the buying and selling of cannabis, they get struck down in federal courts. So this local thing, and I agree, it's not my favorite way of getting things done either. You bring up the Ammiano bill, which was a statewide tax and regulate, and they pointed out, I think the California Board of Equalization said $1.4 billion that can be made. Obviously, with this tax, Cannabis 2010, it's going to be less than that because it's not a statewide, and it doesn't exactly set what the taxation structure or regulation structure should be. It's an unfortunate circumstance, but it seems to be the only way we're going to have a hope of keeping this alive after the, you know, inevitable federal challenges. As far as what I would like to see in cannabis regulation, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not even, you know, a businessman, so I don't try to get too detailed on this. But conceptually, I can't see that the production, commercial production or sales of cannabis should be any different than the commercial production and sales of wine. We have a good structure, a good system there that keeps track of making sure that only adults get it, that growers have to be licensed, they have to meet certain certain quality standards, certain environmental standards. I just can't see how wine, grapes, and cannabis should be regulated that much differently.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Russ. You've given me a lot of good material here for this. You're awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, right. Liz.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Right.
Bye-bye.